If ever there was a day and a time when God's people need the guidance of the Lord, I believe it is today. Many of God's children are confused or heartbroken and wondering what's happening all around us. But praise God, we can turn to His Word. And I want us to open Psalm 121, because praise the Lord, we can just rejoice in this fact, as what it says, God's sustaining power. It's one of the songs of degrees of the psalmist here. Psalm 121, verse number 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, for he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. And as we have read the Word of God today, and we would seek the guidance of the Lord, it is good for us to examine our hearts in the light of God's Word, and then, having examined our hearts and heard God speak, that we order our steps accordingly. You see, God in His infinite condescension and God in His marvelous grace has given us His Word with a purpose of knowing His will and to stop us from blindly stumbling along. And so the Word of God is given to you and it's given to me. But the Word of God is not given to us simply for information. Some people read the Bible and seek to get information. But I believe that the Word of God is of so much more value to us as children of God. It's not simply that we might know the Word and therefore be filled with information, but God has given it to us so that we might regulate our conduct, that the Word of God might mold our hearts, that the Word of God might enlighten our minds. And therefore, when we come this morning to gather round God's Word, we come with a spirit of humility, and we come indeed to this unerring Word. And then as we come to it, and we rest upon it, and we claim it, and we believe it, and we humbly submit to it, then I believe with all my heart that the Word of God will deliver us from the submerged dangers that are there, the rocks that lie beneath the surface of the journey of life's sea, and that God will direct us safely and bring us safely to the required haven and the haven of rest. You see, God has all the instruction, and the Word of God is all the instruction that you need. No matter how big your problem, no matter how difficult your situation, no matter what the emergency is in life, brethren and sisters this morning, thank God God's Word has an answer for every situation of our lives. I believe with all my heart what Paul wrote when he wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy in the chapter 3. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine. It is profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction, for instruction of righteousness. But then it says this, that the man of God may be perfect, in other words, complete, matured, thoroughly furnished, in other words, completely furnished unto all good works. What is the thing that completely furnishes you with all that we need that we might live a life that is pleasing to God and that we might honor the Lord? It says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It is the Scriptures. It is the Word, the infallible Word of God. Now the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 105, you know it well, thy word is a lamp unto our feet, and thy word is a light unto our path. And I want you to think just for a moment before we move on the metaphor that's used there. Because what it is used, it is taken from a man walking in a dark place. And a man's walking a dark, long, dangerous road, and he needs guidance. He needs a light. And so the word of God, it says, it is the lamp, it is the lantern. And so the man, to be able to show him the way, that he might walk safely, that he might avoid the dangers, that he might avoid the pitfalls, that he may avoid stumbling by the way, what does he need? He needs the word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Friend, that's the light that we need. And it is a light unto our path. Of course, that illustration about the lamp and the light of the scriptures is also found in the New Testament. Because in 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse number 19, it says this, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. We do well to take heed. Brethren and sisters, I'll tell you this. This word that God has given us, it is given to us, and we do well to take heed, because God has put it in your hands. And God has a purpose for putting it in your hands, not only for the saving of your soul, because it is the preaching of the word, and it is through the foolishness of the preaching of the word that men and women are saved. But I believe there is another purpose, because there is the building up and the edifying and the blessing and the directing of our steps and the regulating of our lives. That's what it says, that we might take heed unto that word. And so therefore, we need to take this word this morning. And you and I need to love the scriptures of Holy Truth. You know, some people, they take the lamp. And you know, they stand back, and instead of using the lamp of God's word, they stand back and they scrutinize the lamp. Or they stand back and they admire the mechanics of the lamp. Or they stand back and they're amazed at the design of the lamp. And friend, they don't use it. They don't take the lamp of the word of God and use it, because the word of God is not for us to simply scrutinize or to admire or even to be amazed at its design and its purpose. But it is given to us with this purpose, that we would regulate our lives accordingly unto the word of God. There is a little verse in God's word. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 just for a moment. And you have read it, and I have read it many times, but let me say it. 1 Peter chapter 2, and it says this, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye might grow thereby. Do you notice, my friend, that the milk to a child is not the end in itself. There is an end for the milk that is given to a child. Notice, read it again. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye might grow. There's the end. The milk's not the end. The purpose of having the milk, here's a little baby, what is the purpose of a mother when she gives the milk to the child? It's not that the child might look at the bottle. It's not that the child may simply take the milk. But the purpose of the giving of the milk is that the child might grow thereby. In other words, it might strengthen their little bodies, it may strengthen their limbs, that they might grow thereby. So it is with the word of God. So it is with the word of God, friend. Listen, God hasn't given you this book for to give you just a mindful of information. God has given you and me this book, my friend, to regulate our lives according to God's precious and God's holy word. We're to desire it that we might grow. That we might grow. That God's people may mature. That God's people may strengthen themselves in their faith. And that they might be aided and helped by the word to walk in accordance to the word. And so remember this before we move forward this morning. That God has given to us the scriptures. It's not given to you or me for my intellectual gratification. The Word of God is not given to you or me for our emotional admiration. The Word of God is not given to you or me for ourselves or for our own personal glorification. But the purpose of the Word of God for the child of God is this: for life's regulation and for practical application. That's why God gave you His Word. That's why God gave me His Word, that it might be a life's regulatory word, that it might be a practical applicatory word for my life and for yours. In the first chapter of the book of Joshua, we read as Joshua goes to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And God says this in chapter 1, Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt have good success. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And so there's a reward. Praise God, there's a reward for reading, for meditating, but for observing, for doing what God's Word says. We're to walk in the light, for God's Word is a light. It is a lamp unto our feet. Once again, there's a verse in John chapter 11. Turn there just for a moment in John's Gospel chapter 11. And it says in verse number 9, John 11 verse 9, it says, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. And what does it mean to walk in the day, friend? To walk in the day means to be in communion with Him, because He's the light of the world. If any man walks in communion with Him, and when a man walks in communion with Him, he will thereby conduct himself according to the word of the Lord. Verse number 10 says, but if any man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. What does that mean? If any man walk according to his own lusts, another fulfilling his own desires, his own lust, and satisfying and gratifying his own, and he follows the counsel of men, then, friend, the Word of God says this, he stumbleth. He stumbleth because there is no light in him. Go back to chapter 8 of John's Gospel, and in verse number 12 it says, then said Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Notice the word there. He that followeth. Not he that followed me, but he that followeth me. And what that means, friend, it's a steady, continuous following. It's not a momentary following. But it is something that is steady. It is something that is going on. To follow Christ. Following Christ. He says, if you're following me, he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. In other words, he'll not stumble in darkness, because he shall have the light of life. What does it mean to follow Christ, friend? To follow Christ is to be emptied of self-will. To follow Christ, it's to be emptied of self-pleasing and following Jesus only. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 24, it says, then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You and I can't fully follow Christ, friend, except we deny ourselves. We are emptied of ourselves and our self-sufficiency and our self-glorification. We must be willing to follow Christ, and to follow Christ means to repudiate ourselves, to set aside our desires, to set aside our wishes, to take up the cross. Notice what it says, to take up the cross and follow Him. What does it mean to take up the cross? That's a voluntary surrender. That is something that you will have to do, friend. If you want to follow Christ, you'll have to take up the cross and then follow Him. Of course, we could ask, what's the cross? What does the cross speak of? I'll tell you what the cross speaks of, friend. It speaks of obedience. The cross speaks of obedience. You take up the cross to follow Him. You say, where do you get that, preacher? Well, let me show you what it says in the book of Philippians chapter 2. And Philippians chapter 2, it says in the verse number 8, this is what it says concerning Jesus Christ. It says, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Obedience. And therefore, let us follow Him. Let us follow Him walking in the light. Walking in the light of His word, friend. And praise God, we'll enter the promised land. I was thinking about, the Bible tells us concerning two men. It tells me about Joshua. It tells me about Caleb. That's what it says about them. They wholly followed the Lord. They wholly followed the Lord. Be sure in God's house, as we continue our study this morning, be sure in God's house, friend, you want to follow Jesus. Follow Him. Don't follow anyone else. Follow Christ. I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, let us be conscious of our weakness. Let us be conscious of our nothingness. Let us be conscious of our own fallibility. And let us seek God for His guidance, to hear Him say, as Isaiah said, this is my way, walk ye in it. And we need to pray earnestly. As we open the scriptures, friend, we need to pray that the Holy Ghost will teach us from His word, that we might rightly divide the word of truth. You see, it's not enough to quote a scripture, friend. Because if you take a scripture out of context, then you make it a pretext. It's not enough to take a scripture and throw a scripture at somebody. There is the rightly dividing the word of truth. And what does that mean? It means, a friend, that we have to rightly understand and apply what God is saying in the context which God is giving it. Because I'll tell you this, the Holy Spirit will never mislead you or me. And the Holy Spirit will never deceive you or me. Because His word's truth. His word is truth. But the sad reality is this, that you and me can misapply the scriptures. You and me can wrongly divide the word of truth. And the sad thing is this, that when we do that, we pervert the scriptures. And that would be a sad reality. Therefore, it's only the Holy Spirit can do that. And so therefore, when we come to God's word and we say, listen, I'm looking for guidance this morning. Tell me, how do I find guidance? You say, I get it in the word of God, but friend, listen, I must come with no self-will, with no self-importance, with no self-glorification, with no self-gratification, with no intellectual or emotional gratification at all. I come in submission to Him and say, Lord, I want Thee, I want Your word, and I want it only, I want it completely. I want Your mind. As I tell you this, you ask different people about something, and you'll find that there'll be as many different ideas as the number of people you ask. But I tell you, friend, you go to the Word of God with a humble, submissive heart. And I want to show you just very quickly, very simply this morning, concerning that guidance. Let's turn to Proverbs 3. We read it this morning. Proverbs chapter 3. And in Proverbs chapter 3, I want you to look at verses 5 and 6. And I want you to notice what it says. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path. Now I want you to notice the order here. This is the Holy Ghost, friend. This is God. And you'll notice the promise is at the end. He shall direct thy path. But you'll notice that before you come to the promise, there is a threefold program. Oh, people want the promises. And people don't want the blessing. But friends, sadly to say, many times as we as God's people don't want the program. And if you really mean it with all your heart, and you say, Lord, I want you to direct my path, and I trust that each one of us can say that in the very depths of our soul this morning. I want you to notice the program of conditions. Because without the fulfillment of the conditions, there will not be the fulfillment at all of the promise. Now, what's the threefold condition? First of all, look at it. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And there we have complete confidence. You see the word trust, the Hebrew word trust. It literally means this, to lean upon. That's what it means, to lean upon. That's what the Hebrew word means for trust, to lean upon. And what has been conveyed here is someone who is conscious of his own feebleness. Someone who is acknowledging his own weakness, his own inability, and he turns to someone else to rest upon someone who is stronger than them. I'm sure our sister will not mind me giving this illustration. Our sister Louise relies on Ivan as she comes and takes her place in God's house. And her sister does that knowing her own weakness. And you know what she does? She turns to Ivan as her human strength. And I tell you, she's richly blessed by having someone so faithful. And he's richly blessed by having someone so godly. But friend, that's trust. It's leaning upon somebody else. It's an acknowledgement that there is someone that is stronger than us. And what the Word of God says, here's the first step, friend, complete confidence. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In other words, trust him for everything. For everything. God forgive us. God forgive us this morning because quite often, even we as God's children run to the Lord and it's usually only in emergencies. It's when our back's against the wall and there's nowhere else to go and everybody else has failed. But friend, let me tell you, we're to trust, we're to count upon him for everything. And I believe that if we mean that, and if we do that, then we will be able to say with Psalm 23 verse 1, listen to it again, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'll not want. Because we cast everything upon the Lord. Casting all your care. Maybe you've come to God's house and friends before God, you'd be lying if you said you didn't come with a burdened heart. You'd be lying if you said you didn't come with care upon your heart today for the work of Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you this, my friend. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Bible tells us not to trust in princes. The Bible tells us not to trust in man. But the Bible tells us we're to trust in God. Trust in the Lord. You can cast your every care. Listen, there's not a burden too big this morning. There's not a problem too mighty. But God is able to carry that burden. There is not a situation that you face. But God is able to bring you through. He brought the children of Israel through the Red Sea. Can He not bring you and me through the seas of trial and trouble? Trust in the Lord. And that's what it's saying. Simply listen. Draw your strength hour by hour, day by day, from Him. And you see, as you do that, my friend, I tell you, you prove His sufficiency. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know what the Lord's really telling us to do? Very simply, friends, listen. God's simply saying to me, listen, continue as you started. See, the night I could see it, I trusted the Lord. That's how I was saved. I trusted the Lord. I looked away from everyone and everything, and I looked to Him. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of earth, for I am God and beside me there is none else. And what the Word of God is simply saying, listen, friend, listen. Just as you started that night when you bowed the knee and you bowed your heart before the Lord and you came to the cross and you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you trusted in Him that night and you were gloriously and you were wonderfully saved. He's simply saying this, continue the same way, day by day, moment by moment. Trust in me. I'll not disappoint you. And so when I come to Him that night, I abandoned myself to Him. And friend, that's what we have to do today, this Lord's Day morning. You have to abandon yourself to Him. And you've got to trust in Him. Because I'll tell you, I don't care how great or how wonderful the person, I tell you, man will fail. But daily I give to God, in all my weakness, I give my complete confidence to Him. I rely upon Him with a childlike simplicity, childlike faith. It's love's reliance upon the Lord. And I'm glad today I know, and I believe because I trust in Him, I believe that He is thinking upon me. It's an amazing thing, you know, that the Lord thinketh upon me. Nothing as I am, but God thinks upon me. And God, listen, not only thinks upon me, but God is divinely interested in my well-being. He is, you know. He's interested in my well-being. And God's interested in my care. And God sees everything that I need this morning. Friend, as God's child, you should be able to honestly say, brother, I believe that with all my heart, that I am loved with an everlasting love. And I have a God who cares and understands. And God knows my need and praise God something else. And He is a God who can supply all my need. As we said on Thursday night, according to His riches and glory, by Christ Jesus. There's the complete confidence. That's the first. Very quickly. Secondly, a careful consideration. Here's the next step. A careful consideration. Because it not only says, friend, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, but it says this, lean not on thine own understanding. Remember what the word trust means? The word simply means to lean upon. And so the Lord's saying, listen, lean on me. Lean on me. I'm sufficient for your need. And why? People, you know, sometimes look at you and say, I'm looking to see whether he's sad. I'm looking to see whether she's mad. Can I tell you? Look to see that we're glad. We're glad because we're glad in the Lord. We're happy in the Lord. We're resting in Him. I tell you, this God is upon His throne. People say, where is God? I tell you, He's on the throne. And He's still remembering His own. But we're not to trust in ourselves. It says we're not to lean on our own understanding. We're not to trust our own wisdom. You know, some people say, but you know, I'm relying upon my reasoning, and people start to reason things out. Let me tell you, the Word of God says, lean not on thine own understanding. Put it in the garbage bin. What about your understanding or my understanding? The Word of God says, don't trust it. Don't you trust human reasoning? People running around to tell you, listen, trust my reasoning and they'll reason it. Listen, God says, lean not on your own understanding. Don't you trust human reasoning? You trust me, the Lord. You disown your own sufficiency, friend, if you're going to trust the Lord. You disown, you admit that you and I have nothing of ourselves, nothing in our hands we bring. Simply to the cross we cling. We disown our own sufficiency. What do then? We bow humbly before Him, acknowledging the wisdom of God as the only wisdom we need. We're not to be wise. Look at verse 7, Proverbs 3, verse 7. It says this, be not wise in thine own eyes. In other words, we don't trust for our wisdom or man's wisdom for support. Don't you be wise in your own eyes. Or don't let me be wise in mine own eyes. We have got to trust Him. Why, friend? Why does He say, lean not on your understanding? I'll tell you why. Because I don't care who we are this morning. You and I this morning know very little about human nature. You and I know very little about human nature in particular. And you and I don't even understand our own hearts. Oh, the heart of man. God says the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? And our own understanding, our own nature, our own reasoning, friend, would you and I trust that? No, God says, if you want this guidance, you lean not on your own understanding. And the events that surround you, even though, friends, we don't understand it, and the evil that opposes, but trust God. Trust the Lord. You know, some people say, but I can't understand what God's doing. Let me tell you about God, friend. Let me tell you about God. The ways of God, the Bible says, are past finding out. And you know what man tries to do, friend? Listen, a person asked me just yesterday, said, preacher, tell me this. Where did God come from? And they wanted me to explain where God came from. And let me tell you this. The mysteries of God, for you and I to understand, the finite mind of man wants to comprehend and understand completely the infinite. I know that I had a beginning, for God has said it. And I know I will never have an ending. There was a day I began, but I will never, never come to an end. God set eternity in my heart. And even the darkest savage in the world acknowledges he doesn't know who he is, but he acknowledges there is a God. Let me tell you about God, friend. He's from everlasting. and he's too everlasting. See mine eyes here. I can't see Belfast. I can't see Bangor. I can't even see Macrofelt now. You say, does that mean he's going blind? Not at all. I can only see what's in front of me. But there's a lot out there I can't see, but I know it's real. And friend, I tell you this before God. You and I are not able, by the finite mind of man, to comprehend the infinite God. Neither can we understand the mysteries of the workings of that infinite God, who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. And therefore I can't lean. I can't, listen, I know so little about me. How many miles did God put in me of tubes and all the rest to make up? Maybe some nurse can tell me, or some doctor. Tell you the truth sometimes, maybe better not listen, ask them if the nurse or the doctor know, because to be honest, they're only starting to know. They know so little. But God made it all. Lean not on your own understanding, friend. But here's the third thing. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. You know, no time's away. We need to ask God, friends. Let me tell you. Let me say this earnestly. I believe before. We need to ask God permission to do anything. We should never act according to our own desires, because that's the only way we can act as respectful children to our Heavenly Father. That's why the Scripture says, if the Lord will, we'll do this or that. But what we do, we should do all things to the glory of God. And what we do, we should ask ourselves the question. And what I'm doing here, will God be glorified? Will this bring glory to his name? Will this bring glory to his Son? Will this bring glory to his cause? In all thy ways acknowledge him. And then here's the promise. Here's the certain consequences. And he shall direct thy path. And left to ourselves, we're rudderless. You know, it's amazing how the Lord, whenever he was wanting to get a description of the child of God, you know what he called us? He called us all we like. What's the next word? Sheep. An amazing thing. It's an amazing when God talked about his children, he called the sheep. Do you know why? Because sheep are some of the most dumb animals that there are. Some people say, you know, a nice cuddly wee lamb. Let me tell you, friend, they're as stupid as they come. A sheep is one of the most stupid animals that there is. But the Word of God tells us, all we like sheep. There's no other creature that's so apt to go astray. There is no other creature that's more prone to wander, left to itself, than the sheep. And yet that's a God's description. Listen, therefore, when we're prone to go astray, therefore, when we're prone to wander, what do we need? Direction. And what does it say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not on thy own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct. Oh, the Holy Ghost knew exactly what we needed. He shall direct. And you see that word direct, it means to make straight. He shall direct thy path. He'll make your path straight, friend. We live in a crooked age. The devil seeks to throw everything against us, and I'll tell you, he'll seek to throw everything out of joint and to make confusion. But I'll tell you, he shall direct, he shall make clear, he shall make straight thy path. Oh, may God help us this day. Say, Lord, Brother Craig this morning in the prayer meeting, the early morning prayer meeting. It's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, dear Lord. That's standing in need of prayer. Oh, we need the Lord's help. And every child of God needs the Lord's direction. Friend, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but listen, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Thank God the Holy Spirit will not confuse me. But we've got to wait on Him. We've got to wait on Him. Oh, we're so impatient. We want the answer. Now, Lord, now! I waited patiently for the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord, says the psalmist. Wait patiently for Him. May God help us to do it. And He'll make straight your path. I just said, when I got that word from the Lord, friend, I just said, thank you, Lord. That's just what I needed. God, that's your tonic for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word to our hearts today. Help us honestly and reverently, submissively and humbly, in simplicity to come before Thee. And O God, where we do not understand, just simply to trust. Help us, our God, to look to Thee. And for those that are not saved today, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, ere I leave this pulpit this morning, those that have never trusted in Thee, those that have never come to the Savior, oh, may this be a day of salvation. Save them now for Jesus' sake and for His glory.